ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Economics.
Joining us for a look this week at business and finance news is the ABC's chief business reporter and chief punter, Ian Verrend. Ian, good evening to you. Welcome back to Nightlife.
Good to be here, Phil.
I only raised this because you were having a look at how AI, which is the conversation du jour, I must say, how did it go predicting the Melbourne Cup a couple of days ago?
Well, they couldn't come to any agreement, that's what I could say. So there's several platforms out there, and really only one of them picked the winner outright. So
that was
a platform called Perplexity.
I've got that on my phone.
Oh, right, okay. So that predicted...
I didn't look at it.
You should have predicted half yours to come across the line first. ChatGPT predicted Presage Nocturne. And Gemini, which is the Google platform, that predicted Valiant King. And I had a ticket in the sweep which delivered Valiant King, and I thought, I'm in. Didn't come across for me, though. Interestingly, the Macquarie Quant team. Now, this is a group of boffins who work for Macquarie Group, Macquarie Bank.
Right.
And for the past...
They're economic boffins.
Yeah. And they, deal with high-end computers and all kinds of things there. And, for the past 18 years, they've been putting out their Melbourne Cup predictions based on weather and all kinds of other inputs. And they've got a pretty good track record of picking the winner. And they did it again this year, half yours.
All right.
So, the actual intelligence was every bit as good as the artificial intelligence.
Well,
That we're all scared of.
There you go. There you go. Yes, which leads to a discussion, I guess, about artificial intelligence, the one activity that seems to be driving the entire US economy, the world economy.
Mm. Yeah, it is. And, everyone talks about, there's problems out there. Mm. The it's fairly well generally conceded that Wall Street is in a bubble and that it must deflate at some stage. But, look, the money they're spending is real money, and it's actually driving the US economy. It's driving US economic growth at the moment. And there are significant differences between this boom in technology and what we saw 25 years ago in the dot-com boom. At the moment, 29% of all capital spending, capital expenditure from the S&P 500, so that's America's top companies, the 500 top companies, 29% of all that spending is coming from just the Magnificent Seven and their expenditure on artificial intelligence. It is quite extraordinary, really. And,
there have been a lot of comparisons to the dot-com boom, aren't they? A lot of people are saying, it's got all the signs and all the numbers attached to the last big bust, the dot-com bust.
Yeah.
But is it the same?
Well, interestingly, a lot of the companies that make up that Magnificent Seven were the survivors from the dot-com bust. Mm. And I think they learned a valuable lesson during that period, because a lot of companies during the dot-com boom and bust didn't actually have a business. They didn't have any income. They raised money from shareholders all based on promises and from banks. Mm. And so they were basically operating off money that was given to them, not money that they were generating. And one of the interesting things in this boom is that that isn't happening. Most of the big companies, and we're talking about those, five to seven major ones, Meta and Microsoft and, Nvidia and all the rest of them, they're all funding their expenditure out of cash flow, not from debt. So if the whole thing does turn pear-shaped, they're not going to collapse. Their share prices might come undone at a rapid clip, but the companies themselves won't collapse. So it won't cause...
Where's the money coming from?
Well, from the money that they're generating from their businesses already. And artificial intelligence...
Really? They're not borrowing money?
No, they're not using borrowed money to fund this incredible capital expenditure that they're engaged in.
Well, that's the difference with the dot-com bust.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. During the dot-com years, most of those companies didn't have any income at all.
Some of them had no profits. Some of them had no product.
No, that's right. Some of them didn't even have an idea on how to make a profit. And look, a lot of the money they're spending at the moment is going directly into infrastructure, things like data centers, things like how to generate enough energy to run the data centers, and into advanced equipment for artificial intelligence. I mean, it's being invested in real things. And, you know, there's a lot of money out there that is, you know, scouring the world that is, well, in fact, just this week, there was a big $15 billion deal done by Microsoft with a Sydney-based company, Iron, to provide cloud computing services for them, for their artificial intelligence. Amazon just struck a $38 billion deal with OpenAI to provide cloud computing services. So there's money being spent, and there's money that these artificial intelligence companies are making. But here's the corresponding argument on the other side. There's a company called Palantir, which is listed on Wall Street, probably never heard of it, but it is a big artificial intelligence operator, and it runs essentially data analysis for both government and corporations in America.
Mm-hmm.
It announced really good profit results this week. Record earnings and revenue of $1.2 billion US dollars for the September quarter alone. So it was a big increase in their financial performance. And so as a result, the share price went up around about 5%. Now, here is where the whole bubble and overvaluation thing comes into force, because 5% increase in their share price, when you look at how you should value shares, there's a general rule of thumb somewhere between 10 and 20. So everyone settles on 15. Mm-hmm. So if your company is earning 10 cents a share, multiply that by 15, your share price should be $1.50 a share.
Mm-hmm.
The valuation of Palantir, the price earnings ratio isn't between 10 and 20, it's between 6 and 700. In other words, investors are predicting that the earnings growth that they're seeing at the moment is going to not just maintain that pace, but grow exponentially beyond that. So, you know, there's a lot of expectations that could come undone at a fairly rapid clip at some stage.
If you want to buy a stake in America's top 500, you'd be paying about 40 odd times their underlying cyclically adjusted earnings.
That's right. And
that's very, very expensive.
That is. And what you're doing there when you're calling that number out is that you're dividing it by the top 500 companies when all of this expenditure and all of these valuations are actually being concentrated in a very small number of stocks.
If as you say, though, the AIs are not borrowing the money, they're spending the money, but they've got to make money.
They are. Yeah.
They are making money.
Yeah.
Are they going to continue to make money?
Well, Palantir is a pretty good example of that. Mm. You know, smallish, very niche operator that is, you know, providing artificial intelligence to scour data and to analyze that data for corporations and for government. So they're winning government contracts and corporate contracts to provide that kind of data for these customers. They're winning new customers and, you know, they're doing really, really well. The only thing is that everybody expects them to continue that kind of trajectory for you know, quite a long period into the future.
Which, yeah.
You'd have to think would be unrealistic, wouldn't you?
Well, would you? Yes. Unless, as you've often remarked in the past, unless we're entering some brave new world where, you know, AI is going to change. I don't know. Maybe it is.
Maybe it will. I mean, look, nobody knows where it's going with this.
Mm.
I mean, the other complicating factor with all of this is that, you know, the share prices of all our companies, and we're talking globally here, have been impacted by central banks.
Mm.
And as much as, you know, we've had, you know, a decision this week where the Reserve Bank didn't cut rates as expected, but every time there's been a problem since that dot-com bust in 2000, every time there's been any kind of problem with markets, financial markets, central banks have flooded the economy with cash.
Mm.
And it's interesting, if you draw a line between, if you put two graphs on the same set of parameters, Wall Street and the US money supply, you'll see it almost mirrors one another. So and there's a good reason for that. So a central bank puts money into the economy that allows people to borrow more, to spend more, and if they've got anything left over, they'll invest it. So they'll put it on the stock market, or they'll, you know, they'll put it into some kind of investment, eventually finds its way into the stock market. Mm. And that's what's happened over the past 25 years, to the point, you know, where we now have the US economy absolutely flooded with cash. And, you know, I haven't seen any academic research on this, but I've got a bit of a theory that I couldn't believe how quickly our stock market recovered during COVID. Now, when you think about what happened here, the market started to really tank around about February of 2020. And it hit rock bottom on March the 23rd, I think it was. So it went down for about a 4 or 5 week period. And after it hit rock bottom, it just went on a recovery that never stopped. Mm. And when it first bounced, I thought, oh, that's going to be a bit of a dead cat bounce, is what they call it. It'll, you know, keep going down because there's no vaccine. There's no sign we're getting anywhere near the end of this. Mm. But the market just kept on recovering. And we saw the same thing earlier this year during those Liberation Day tariff scares, when Wall Street tanked, our market tanked. And suddenly after a week, it just started to recover. And we've now seen Wall Street up 35% since it hit that bottom in April. And I think it is just the fact that there is so much money out there that even though you get a correction, once you see some kind of value in the money pours back in, and away it goes again.
So we beat on.
Yeah.
Boats against the current.
I know.
All right, Ian, always great to talk. Thank you.
Thanks, Phil.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.